Daughters of the Black Sea by Dorothea O. Coleridge, read by Brigid Vance. Here we go. Prologue. The steamer's whistle cut through the fog like a blade. Lena held her mother's elbow with one hand and Sophia's wrist with the other. The three of them pressed into the crowd on the Quai de Richelieu. The spring thaw had come late that year, and the wind off the Black Sea still carried ice in its teeth. Someone's suitcase caught Lena in the hip. A child screamed somewhere behind them, a thin sound that vanished under the crush of voices. There. Their mother pointed with her free hand, the ring catching what little light there was. The Ryan. Captain said we'd know her by the yellow funnel. Lena did not know how her mother could see anything through the press of bodies and the coal smoke and the fog that rolled off the water like wool. But there she was. The yellow funnel. The rusty toll. The gangplank where a man in a naval greatcoat was checking papers against a list. Papers. Lena said. Do we have here? Sophia pressed the folded documents into her palm. Her sister's fingers were cold, the knuckles sharp. She had lost weight in the 6 weeks since the whites had fallen back to Odessa, since the French had evacuated their garrison, since the Bolshevik army had started its slow, patient crawl toward the coast. They all had lost weight. Lena's own belt was 3 holes tighter than it had been in January. The crowd surged. Lena felt her grip on Sophia's wrist strain, felt her mother stumble against her shoulder. Somewhere ahead, a man was shouting in French, and another was answering in Russian, and neither was listening to the other. Stay close, Lena said. Stay together. She felt the promise in her chest, a thing she had said 100 times since their father died. Stay together. I'll keep us together. I'll find a way. The gangplank was 30 feet away now. 20. A woman in a fur coat that had seen better winters was arguing with the naval officer, waving a letter of transit that he would not take. Behind her, 2 men carried a trunk between them. And behind them, a girl not much older than Sophia was crying into her hands. Papers, the naval officer said when they reached him. He was young, maybe 25, with a face that had not yet learned to stop caring. Papers, quickly. Lena handed them over. He glanced at the names, at the stamps, at the faces of the 3 women standing before him. 3 of you? 3, Lena said. My mother, my sister, myself. We have passage. He looked at the list again. The crowd pressed behind them. Someone shouted in Ukrainian, a curse lost to the coal smoke. 2? He said. What? 2 names. Varubova, Maria. Varubova, Sophia. That's all. He held the papers out to her, and his hand was steady. The 3rd one isn't here. Lena felt the words land like stones. She took the papers, looked at them, looked at her mother's face, looked at Sophia. The world seemed to slow, the noise of the crowd retreating to a distant hum. There must be a mistake, she said. We registered together. We paid together. I have the receipt. Then find it. But the ship leaves in 15 minutes. I can't hold it. Behind him, the Ryan's engine cuckered. A deep shudder that Lena felt through the soles of her boots. The fog was starting to lift, and through it she could see the other ships anchored in the harbor. The Kherson, the Dobryna, the Maria, all of them full, all of them preparing to leave the coast before the Reds arrived. Lena. Her mother's voice was quiet, the way it had been at the funeral. Lena, take the receipt. Show him. She had it. She knew she had it. She had put it in the inner pocket of her coat, the one she had sewn herself, the one that held the last of their money and her father's watch and the photograph of their dacha before the war had taken everything. She reached into her pocket. Her fingers found the watch, the photograph, the money. A folded piece of paper that was not the receipt. It was a letter from a cousin in Kiev, months old, that she had meant to throw away. The receipt was not there. Lena. Sophia's hand on her arm. Lena, it's all right. Give him something else. Give him the rubles. I don't have enough. The words came out flat, as if they belonged to someone else. I don't have enough for another passage. The naval officer was watching her. Behind him, the deckhands were casting off the forward lines. A man in a white suit pushed past them, waving a British passport, and the officer waved him through without looking at the papers. 2 minutes, he said. I can give you 2 minutes. Lena looked at her mother. Maria Varubova was 61 years old, and her hands were shaking, and her coat was too thin for the March wind, and she had not eaten properly in 3 weeks. Take her, Lena said. Take my mother and my sister. I'll find another way. No. Sophia's grip tightened on her arm. No, Lena. We go together or we don't go. You go. Lena turned to face her, and she saw the fear in Sophia's eyes. The same fear that had been there since the first shelling, since the night they had buried their father's silver watch under the floorboards